Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. And that's going to be a little short and sweet, just you and me for this week. Full disclosure, I am in rehearsal for a production of Henry IV Part 1, which is a part of Bardfest, Indie Bardfest, in October. So don't be surprised if it becomes stage sociology when it gets a little closer to when we open. But anyway, we'll blab about that a little more. So this is First World Problems, of course, as the film critic and film talk show host, has evenings booked for rehearsals. So if I can see things in the morning or I can have screeners sent to me, that's what I do. So that's partially why I'm picking the films that I picked. And these just seem more interesting to me. And we have two really nice smaller pictures that are opening this weekend in Indianapolis. So go seek these out. And they're distinctly different films. And in fact, the other two video releases that I'm going to talk about are also pretty vast. So nice eclectic mix, all of which are worth checking out. We're going to start things off with a documentary about the history of the musical Fiddler on the Roof, called Fiddler, A Miracle of Miracles. And another full disclosure, I got to play the rabbi in Richmond Civic's production of Fiddler 2 years ago. Got to share the stage with my daughter Emma, who was also in the chorus. And I have griped before on if a documentary doesn't teach me anything new, then I think it does a disservice, or at least in my case. Now, I know a little more about Fiddler than the average bear because of my involvement in the show. But if you know nothing about this, there's a lot of fun information about the history of how the show was made, how the show was created, the transition from stage to film. But I think also musical theater lovers and the stage folk will also enjoy this as well, even though there's some material that's already known, especially going from Zero Mostel to Topol, which is addressed. But there's a lot of some really cool talking heads, including Topol, including Austin Pendleton, who was in the original stage production, including Joel Grey, who recently directed an all-Yiddish production of Fiddler, which I believe is, if at the time of this recording, is still happening in New York. But we get early recordings and demos of the songs, the history behind the songs, and how some of them are lifted from Jewish culture. Not really a surprise, but fun to see those similarities. And also the fact that, and this is a great reminder of not just the impact of Fiddler on the Roof, but the impact on theater as a whole. Stories about Fiddler on the Roof being done in Japan, and how being told by audience members there, it's such a Japanese story. So we find these universalities with the story, especially in this case. There's a great quote about how female empowerment begins when the daughters start to make their own choices for who they want to marry. For a play coming out in 1964, and the film coming out 7 years later as the rise of the women's lib movement, that's big stuff. Other things not knowing is I didn't realize there was a version of If I Were a Rich Man done by the Temptations. Also did not know that there was an all-black and Hispanic school that put on the show, I believe it was middle school, in 1967, making their own initiative. You see footage of a middle school production in modern times. You also see productions done in Thailand. You see Lin-Manuel Miranda and his father-in-law singing L'Chaim at his wedding, at Lynn's wedding. So it explains how the story, the musical, is still relevant today and in some cases just as relevant today as it was 50 years ago, over 50 years ago. So this is a fun romp as far as the history of music of this musical. Then dedicated to Harold Prince, the producer who passed away recently. But no, this is a must-see, and it's a lot of fun. You get to hear the different, many different productions of Fiddler, past and present. So if you're a theater fan, or you just enjoy a great evening of music, that's worth checking out. Switching gears. Also in theaters this weekend is the docudrama, well, drama, Official Secrets from Gavin Hood. This stars the one that stars Keira Knightley as a translator, Catherine Gunn, who leaked a memo involving the U.S. and the U.K. pushing to get a vote to go to war with Iraq. This is, of course, during the Gulf War in 2001. Even though there were no weapons of mass destruction found, and how one simple document was sent to one person and the ripple effect that it causes. It's a low-key drama. And so it takes about 40 minutes before things really get off the ground. So you have to be patient with this. This is not a big-budgeted Hollywood melodrama about politics. Once that kicks in, and then we get into the war in the court, the confessional, and the war in the court, it does pick up some steam. Keira Knightley gets to do a controlled burn, I guess, on that quiet intensity. You also it also helps that you have coming off the bench the likes of Matt Smith. Yes. Yes, doctor. As a reporter for The Observer who breaks the story, Rhys Ifans as a fellow reporter, Matthew Good, Ralph Fiennes as her attorney, Jeremy Northam. So a solid supporting cast. And even though this was, 2000, this incident happens in 2003, still relevant today in 2019, and maybe you watch this as her catch 22 is wanting to save lives, but she broke the law as far as what documents can and cannot be open to the public. So anyway, good stuff there from Official Secrets. Catching up on releases on video from Film Movement. Now we go to 1990 with a kind of American Gothic story called The Reflecting Skin from Philip Ridley, a play director and writer. This was one early Viggo Mortensen roles. This is from 1990, and it's set in a small prairie town in 1950s Idaho, but from the look of it, it looks at least 30 to 40 years behind. And an 8-year-old boy who believes that a neighbor next door might be a witch. Also comes from a really hard upbringing, dominant mother, weak father who has a past, a criminal past, and what happens when his older brother comes home from the army. And it's been labeled American Gothic, not the painting, but the tone, because of the possibilities of the English woman who is a widow, who the boy believes is a vampire. A series of child murders involving young boy's friends. What happens when one finds a dead baby? And also all of this in extremely bright light. Most of the film is shot in the daytime, and that adds a certain element of it feeling unsettling, because most of the material happening in this film is in bright light. And a lot of wheat fields. And I find out from getting into the film that it's photographed by Dick Pope. Dick Pope is a 2-time Oscar nominee. He was nominated for The Illusionist and most recently for Mr. Turner. He's also infamous with the president of the Academy who accidentally misspoke his last name when reading the nominations. But it has a Days of Heaven feel to it, with the housing and the fields. Not as slow, but it just adds the uneasiness of the incidents that are going on in this household and this boy's imagination. And it's not your traditional coming of age story. Solid stuff all around. And that made me go back and look at the films photographed by Dick Pope, even going back as far as 1990's Dark City and Life is Sweet. He worked with Mike Lee quite a bit. The films Naked, An Awfully Big Adventure, Career Girls, Topsy Turvy, All or Nothing, the 2002 film version of Nicholas Nickleby. If you see me on the street sometime, I'll tell you about that film being reviewed on Fox 59. Vera Drake, his first Academy Award nomination, as I mentioned, The Illusionist, Man of the Year, Honey Dripper, the John Sayles film, Happy-Go-Lucky, Me and Orson Welles, Another Year, Mr. Turner, as I mentioned, his second nomination in 2014, did the Tom Hardy mafia film Legend about the Craze. The latest Mike Lee film that came out earlier this year. So really nice work there from Dick Pope. And that's from Film Movement Classics, The Reflecting Skin. Also out by Film Movement is Rafiki, a low-key girl-meets-girl story set in Nairobi, where homosexuality is still considered a crime. And you not only have two young women who fancy each other, but their fathers are rival politicians. And it is a low-key affair. It doesn't turn in the boys don't cry. It doesn't turn too over the top when their secret starts to unravel. And a nice, intimate action between the two actresses as the two lovers. So I guess low-key and understated are the themes in this week's show, even with the cinematic beauty of The Reflecting Skin. So those are happening. Go rent those out. We have an update with the Midnight Movies over at Keystone Arts. Tommy Wiseau was supposed to appear at the room screening at midnight at Keystone Arts on October 11th and 12th. It has been rescheduled to November 8th and 9th. So it will not be happening in October. You'll have to check him out in November. And just a reminder that the midnight movies scheduled are The Lost Boys on October 4th and 5th, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, on October 18th and 19th, and John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness, October 25th and 26th. Depending on when you're listening to this program, at IU Cinema, Fast Color at 7 o'clock on Friday the 13th. Yeah, nothing about that, about the date. And then recently added at 10 p.m. on Friday the 13th, The Farewell. Saturday the 14th, Gordon and Patty at 4 o'clock, an animated film from 2017. And then at 7 o'clock, directors Crystal Z. Campbell and Madeline Hunt and Eirich will be scheduled to present the films Gorilla Means War, A Quality of Light, and Spit on the Broom. Sunday the 15th at 1 o'clock, Motherland at 1 p.m. and at 4 o'clock, La Pointe Courte from 1956. Monday the 16th, Christopher Strong from 1933 at 7 o'clock. Thursday, September 19th, The Third Wife from 2018 at 7 o'clock. Ash Mayfair, writer and director of that film, will be present, and then Ash Mayfair will be speaking at 5 o'clock on Friday the 20th, and Ash Mayfair's film Dead Pigs at 7 o'clock on Friday the 20th, and then Ash's film Ode to Nothing at 10 p.m. on Friday, September 20th. Saturday, September 21st, The Third Wife at 4 o'clock. And then the world premiere of Rolling and Rebel Girls at 7 p.m. IU filmmakers and IU alum Riley Dismore and Catherine Crump are scheduled to be present for the 7 p.m. screening. And Sunday, September 22nd, La Bohère, pardon my French, from 1965 at 1 o'clock, and the 1988 Tom Hanks comedy Big at 4 o'clock on Sunday, September 22nd. Over at the Art Craft Theater, September 13th, 14th, and 15th at 2 and 7.30 p.m. 2 and 7.30 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, 2 p.m. on Sunday the 15th. And Sunday the 15th is a sign language production of Hocus Pocus. I always remember this. I was in college when this film came out, and I know it's got a cult following. A witch story set in Halloween released in the summer. I might need to revisit that. And then September 18th, Wednesday, September 18th at 7:30 p.m., a 35mm print, the first film my father ever bought on Betamax cassette. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Who knew? And the first dark comedy I ever saw and loved, Hal Ashby's Harold and Maude. Ruth Gordon, Bud Cort, of course, Vivian Pickles, a film that I've over the years found out, especially, and it probably started with Harold and Maude, that my favorite romantic films, when you're describing them, you have to say, it just so happens. It just so happens that he's 20 and she's 80. It just so happens that he's obsessed with death and she's obsessed with life. And of course, great score by Cat Stevens. That's Wednesday, September 18th at the Artcraft Theater. Mark your calendars, September 27th and 28th at 2 and 7:30 p.m. at the Artcraft Theater, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And October 4th, a Friday at 7:30 p.m., Ghost. And October 5th at 7:30 p.m., The Lost Boys. And speaking of Friday the 13th, the original Friday the 13th, October 11th and 12th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., not this weekend. And October 18th and 19th, The Ghost of Mr. Chicken. October 25th and 26th, Edward Scissorhands. November 1st and 2nd, His Girl Friday. November 8th and 9th, The Great Escape. All at the historic Artcraft Theater in Franklin. Don't forget The Great Escape. You will not see Leonardo DiCaprio in this. Nice computer work in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This weekend at the Tibbs Drive-In Theater, you have on one screen both parts of It. On screen two, Hustlers, the Jennifer Lopez film, along with Angel Has Fallen. One for her, one for him. Screen three, It Chapter Two, along with Annabelle Comes Home. And on screen four, Don't Let Go, followed by Good Boys. Okay. Over at the Skyline Drive-In this weekend, It Chapter Two, along with Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And that's about it, folks. Thanks for listening. Here's some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. We're going to end the show with dead people we like because we don't have time for dead people we don't like. We're going to pay tribute to actress Carol Lynley, who passed away on September 3rd at the age of 77. She's a two-time Golden Globe nominee for Most Promising Newcomer in the Female Division for The Light in the Forest from 1958 and Blue Denim in 1959. Other film credits include Hound Dog Man, Return to Peyton Place, The Last Sunset, The Stripper, Under the Yum Yum Tree, The Cardinal, The Pleasure Seekers, Bunny Lake is Missing, Danger Route, The Maltese Spippy, yes, with Ronan Martin, the 1972 TV movie of The Night Stalker, Norwood, and probably best known as singer Nani Perry in 1972's The Poseidon Adventure, even though she didn't actually sing it. The Four Deuces from 1975, Bad Georgia Road, 1977, Dark Tower, 1987, and yes, Howling Six, The Freaks from 1991. And as they say, much, much more. So we are going to end the show with a little bit of The Morning After. So salute, Karen. But go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Toes. Wow. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here on WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
There's got to be a morning after if we can hold on through the night. Chance to find the sunshine. Let's keep on looking for the light. Oh, can't you see the morning after? It's waiting right outside the storm. Why don't we cross the bridge together and find the place that's safe and warm? It's not too late. We should be giving. Only with love can we climb. It's not too late. Not while
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!